Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to the 11th chapter of the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 11, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And it came to pass, when Jabin, king of Hazor, had heard these things, that he sent to Jobab, king of Madon, and to the king of Shimron, and to the king of Achsaph, and to the kings that were on the north of the mountains, and of the plains, south of Kinnereth, and in the valley, and in the borders of Dor on the west, and to the Canaanite on the east, and on the west, and to the Amorite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Jebusite, in the mountains, and to the Hivite under Hermon in the land of Mizpah. And they went out, they and all their hosts with them, much people, even as the sand that is upon the seashore, in multitude, with horses and chariots very many. And when all these kings were met together, they came and pitched together at the waters of Merom to fight against Israel. And the Lord said unto Joshua, Be not afraid because of them, for tomorrow, about this time, will I deliver them up, all slain, before Israel. Thou shalt hawk their horses, and burn their chariots with fire. So Joshua came, and all the people of war with him, against them by the waters of Merom suddenly, and they fell upon them. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Israel, who smote them, and chased them unto great Zidon, and unto Mizrephoth Mayim, unto the valley of Mizpah eastward, and they smote them until they left none remaining. And Joshua did unto them as the Lord bade him. He hawked their horses and burnt their chariots with fire. And Joshua at that time turned back and took Hazor, and smote the king thereof with the sword, for Hazor before time was the head of all those kingdoms. And they smote all the souls that were therein with the edge of the sword, utterly destroying them. There was not any left to breathe. And he burnt Hazor with fire. And all the cities of those kings, and all the kings of them, did Joshua take, and smote them with the edge of the sword, and he utterly destroyed them, as Moses the servant of the Lord commanded. But as for the cities that stood still in their strength, Israel burned none of them, save Hazor only. That did Joshua burn. And all the spoil of these cities, and the cattle, and the children of Israel took for a prey unto themselves. But every man they smote with the edge of the sword until they had destroyed them, neither left they any to breathe. As the Lord commanded Moses, his servant, so did Moses command Joshua, and so did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses. So Joshua took all that land, and the hills, and all the south country, and all the land of Goshen, and the valley, and the plain, and the mountain of Israel, even the valley of the same, even from Mount Halak, that goeth up to Seir, even unto Baal Gad, in the valley of Lebanon, under Mount Hermon. All their kings he took, and smote them, and slew them. Joshua made war a long time with all those kings. There was not a city that made peace with the children of Israel, save the Hivites, the inhabitants of Gibeon. All other they took in battle. For it was of the Lord to harden their hearts, that they should come against Israel in battle, that he might destroy them utterly, and that they might have no favor, but that he might destroy them, as the Lord commanded Moses. And at that time came Joshua, and cut off the Anakims from the mountains, from Hebron, from Debir, from Anab, and from all the mountains of Judah, and from all the mountains of Israel. Joshua destroyed them utterly with their cities. There was none of the Anakims left in the land of Israel, in the land of the children of Israel, only in Gaza, in Gath, and in Ashdod there remained. So Joshua took the whole land, according to all that the Lord said unto Moses, and Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel according to their divisions by their tribes, and the land rested from war. May God add His blessing to the reading, and to the hearing of his word. We have then in this continuing of the narrative the conquest of the rest of Canaan from the south to the north, everything in between. As we go into the next chapter, we'll see on the east side and on the west side of Jordan. From the north up near Hermon, to the south all the way to Goshen, which is that southern border of Egypt. I'm sorry, that eastern and northern border, eastern and northern border of Egypt. So we have the expanse of the kingdom. Notice that the kings of the north now call themselves together with the remnant of anything that is left in the south, and they gather together against Joshua, and the company that Joshua comes against in this chapter dwarfs the company that they came against in the last chapter. But the Lord says to Joshua, "Do not worry, do not fear. I have delivered them into your hand." And so we have Joshua then, this great and faithful captain. Do you see what Joshua does? He does not wait. Joshua hurries to the battle. He is forward to his duty. Now that is what you call obedience. Right? So many times we accept from ourselves or from those around us a kind of obedience that really testifies more of rebellion than obedience. Don't we? Let's be honest. Because obedience here, as defined in the actions of Joshua, is rising early and going forward to the duty that God has given you. Rising early and going forward. Do you sense any reluctance here in Joshua? Do you sense any hesitation in the narrative when it recounts Joshua's actions? I don't. Not at all. Notice, so Joshua came, and all the people of war with him against the waters of Merom suddenly, and they fell upon them. Joshua's not waiting in a defensive posture for them to attack. The Lord has told him, go and get them. And so he does. Would that our obedience would exude that kind of cheerful and speedy obedience that we are to have. Remember in the fifth commandment, is it the fifth commandment? You might have to help me with this. In our catechisms, we are told that our obedience is to mirror, to imitate the angels in heaven. Oh, that's right. It's in the Lord's Prayer. That's right. Yeah. Yeah, we are to have the kind of obedience that the angels exhibit in heaven, which is what? Speedy, cheerful, and powerful obedience. That is to be our obedience as well. And so many times we accept from ourselves, perhaps to parents, we accept from our children, or we accept from one another, a kind of obedience that is more of a bowed shoulder, shuffling kind of obedience, a reluctant obedience. If obedience includes the inner man and the outer man, I got to tell you, that's not obedience, is it? To be driven to your duty. We were reading in the Psalms this morning, Psalm 32, the psalmist writes, David writes there, don't be like the horse or the mule. To get them to do what you want them to do, you have to put a bit in their mouth and tug it here and there and get them wherever you want them to go. That's not obedience. That's not the obedience of those who are created in God's image. The obedience of those who are created in God's image is not like the obedience of a brute beast. The obedience of a brute beast is put a bit in the mouth and tug it. The obedience of God's people is, Hineni, here I am, Lord. Tell me what thou dost require of thy servant, and then be forward to the duty. That's the kind of obedience that the Bible defines as obedience for God's people. I fear, as I've told you already this morning, I fear that we accept a lesser obedience as obedience. Let us get our mind right on that. Let us get our thinking right on that and accept only the kind of obedience that God commands, which is a swift and cheerful and powerful obedience. Not a shuffling, hesitant, reluctant, and murmuring obedience. That's not obedience. So then, we're making use, aren't we? The historical narrative has Joshua and the children of Israel conquering all the land. From the north to the south, from the east to the west, to Jordan, and even farther west beyond Jordan. We have the word of the Lord that came and commanded Moses, and Moses commanded Joshua, and Joshua obeyed. Notice we have there that system that the Lord has set up, him speaking to his prophets writing out what there is to be done, and we as God's people reading in his word what the prophets and apostles have said and being quick to obey that which we read. That is indeed a pattern that continues to this day. It didn't stop with Joshua. And notice the fruit, the reward of obedience. The Lord was with Joshua, and he took all the land. Why do we find ourselves defeated? Why do we find ourselves not able to rise up and take the enemy of our souls? Because our obedience is not speedy. We satisfy ourselves with such substandard obedience. Joshua rose up early, pressed him and his company into battle, and were successful. We will entertain a greater measure of success if we entertain a greater kind of obedience, will we not? Let's stand and continue praising God in the singing of psalms, and let us